You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Unlike Canadians, the average Vietnamese person is keenly aware of their country's past with Agent Orange. A new book called Blowback, A Canadian History of Agent Orange and the War at Home, tells a disturbing story of the free market's preference for money over health and people. Author Chris Arsenault joins us this morning to tell us about the Canadian involvement with Agent Orange, and he joins us by phone from Toronto. Hello, Chris.
Hi, nice to be here.
Nice to have you. What is Agent Orange, first of all?
Well, Agent Orange is a colloquial nom de guerre given to a one-to-one chemical mix of two compounds, 2,4-D and 2,4-5-T. Now, 2,4-5-T, in its manufacture, was contaminated with something called dioxin. And the journal Science calls dioxin, quote, the most toxic substance known to humans. So it's a serious endocrine disruptor. It messes with the basic functionings of chromosome genetic material and the body's inner process. And the name Agent Orange comes from the big orange barrels that Dow Chemical and Monsanto used to ship the chemicals to Vietnam and Canada.
And what was it used for in Vietnam?
Vietnam, more than 45 million gallons of the stuff was sprayed during the American war there. And it was part of the counterinsurgency campaign. So the chemicals were used to defoliate the jungle that the Viet Cong used for cover. So they'd spray the toxins, it would kill all the plants, and then the planes would be able to see where bases or troop movements or that kind of thing was happening. So it was these are defoliants fundamentally for killing brush, and that's how they were used in the Vietnamese counterinsurgency campaign.
Now, what is the Canadian connection?
Between 1956 and 1984, the Canadian military and its private contractors sprayed more than 1,300,000 liters of Agent Orange, Agent Purple, and Agent White across Canadian Forces Base Gagetown. So that's in New Brunswick. It was once the largest military base in the British Commonwealth. So in addition to that, the Agent Orange was used in BC, in other parts of New Brunswick and Newfoundland by companies such as CN Rail to kill the brush around their rail lines, or by, in the New Brunswick case, by New Brunswick Power to defoliate the plants around power lines. So it's fundamentally a defoliant, and more than a million liters of wet chemicals plus more than a million pounds of dry chemicals were used by the Canadian military in order to clear land at the base for training purposes.
So it was used to clear land. Were the people who used it aware of the dangers of the chemical?
No, and that's one of the key things I talk about in the book, is that usually the people who were actually applying and spraying the chemical were young people, ages kind of 18 to 24 in most cases, and they were... I did numerous interviews where people were told that the stuff was safe enough to drink. So you've got these kids spraying one of the most toxic substances known to humans on trucks or however, and they'd be soaked in it. So they'd come home covered in the chemicals, they'd eat their lunch not having washed their hands after, and it was, their superiors systematically told them it was safe enough to drink. So there was a serious regulatory lapse in terms of protecting the safety of both military people who were at the base, the families who lived nearby who were constantly sprayed by planes and helicopters, and then the individuals who had to spray the chemicals from trucks or that sort of thing. There's a serious problem in terms of people not being told how dangerous the chemicals were, even when the companies certainly had information of dioxin contamination in their product, and the military, if they didn't know, they should have known. And there's quite clear evidence by the mid-60s they did know, and they continued spraying anyway.
So you actually spoke to people, you found people who had both sprayed it and also presumably experienced it, lived in, what is the local town, Enniskillen?
There's a number of towns near the base. Enniskillen is the one that was hardest hit, but people in towns such as Petersville, Gary, to a lesser degree, Oromocto, were affected by this stuff, because a lot of the main spraying often was done by helicopter or C-123 aircraft. So there was a number of cases where the planes or helicopters would miss their proposed targets. And in one example, they sprayed a farmer's field and paid secretly more than $300,000 in compensation to those farmers for destroying their crops. So yeah, that town. I interviewed one woman who went out in her yard in the 60s and planted a bed of flowers. And after the spray planes came over the next day, she went back out and the land was just black ashes. The flowers had just died that quickly and was just a pile of ash where once red pansies were growing. So the long-term health effects and the short-term health effects on the people in that region are very, very serious. You're seeing far higher than normal rates of cancer, type 2 diabetes, spina bifida, and a whole grouping of other illnesses. And I spoke to a number of soldiers especially who had had miscarriages or in one case, a molar pregnancy, which is a similar birth defect that you're seeing in a lot of Vietnamese mothers that have been exposed to it through water or soil or what have you. So, yeah, you're seeing some of the same health problems in rural New Brunswick as you've seen in Vietnam.
Do you think that it was being tested on Canadians to just kind of see what the effects would be? I mean, were Canadians being used as guinea pigs in any sense?
Yes, certainly. There's two key issues here. There's, like I said, the Canadian military and its subcontractors sprayed 1.3 million liters and at least 1.3 million liters during 56 to 84. In 1966 and 67, the American military tested Agent Orange and Agent Purple at the base. Now, what's interesting about that, there's two things. One, in 67, when they used Agent Purple, it was banned for use by the U.S. Congress. So the American military couldn't test on American soil, so they were invited up to Gagetown to test there. Agent Purple is three times more dangerous than Agent Orange because of higher dioxin contamination. So the Americans were testing in Canada, invited by the Canadian military, when they were banned for testing in their own country. So that's problem one. Problem two is that throughout the Vietnam War, the Canadian government had a position where we weren't to be developing offensive weapons for use in that conflict. And what we see from Gagetown is that they were clearly testing these chemicals on Gagetown because of all possible North American test sites, the fauna or the plant life was most similar to that of Vietnam. That's according to their memorandums. So you're seeing tests being done in Canada for offensive weapons being used during the Vietnam War when the government had explicitly said that it wasn't doing such a thing.
So you're saying they were testing it both as a weapon to see how effective it was and also to see what the kind of health effects were?
Well, I don't have evidence that they were testing to see what the health effects were. It's interesting when you read, through access to information, I obtained the memos going back and forth between officials at Camp Gagetown and American chemical warfare specialists from Fort Detrick, Maryland, who were heading up most of the testing. And in these memos, the Americans are really concerned with how this will play for the counterinsurgency campaign in Vietnam, how this will help in the so-called war on communism. And meanwhile, the Canadians are just wondering, what's the best way to clear brush at the base? We have these unwanted trees that we want to get rid of. So you've got this kind of back and forth. So I don't have evidence that they were testing to see what the health effects were on Canadians. But what's important here is that by 1965, Dow Chemical's internal memos show that the company was well aware of dioxin contamination, well aware of the dangers, and yet they continued producing and selling it. So, yeah, I'm not arguing the Americans were necessarily testing to see the health effects on individual Canadians, but they were testing here because they weren't able to test on American soil.
So you see the Canadian government, the Canadian forces being quite naive in this then?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's partially naivety and partially just wanton incompetence. But yeah, they invited the Americans to test because they were interested in how best to control the brush. So yeah, there's definitely at best a degree of naivety and at worst something significantly more sinister.
What kind of compensation has been given or is being given to the people in those villages and the people on the base who did the spraying?
Well, when this story first broke big in 2005, when that happened, Greg Thompson, who's the cabinet minister responsible for New Brunswick and the federal minister of Veterans Affairs, was in opposition. And in opposition, Thompson stood in the House and pointed his finger at the Liberals and said, "We demand a full public inquiry and full compensation for all those affected from 1956 to 84. When a compensation package was announced by the Conservatives, compensation will only be paid for people who were in the area and who were sick during the 1966 and 67 American tests. So the Americans sprayed less than 500 liters of the chemicals for testing purposes. If you were there during those 2 years, you'll get $20,000 in compensation if you have one of a list of ailments associated with exposure." But the kicker on this issue is that the Canadians sprayed infinitely more, 1.3 million liters, from 56 to 84. And if you were in the area in the early 60s when the Canadians were doing the most spraying, you get nothing. So the kind of politic behind that compensation package is to deflect attention from Canada's large spraying program and on to the American tests, which, and those tests are obviously deeply problematic, but in terms of the raw numbers of chemical use are far, far smaller than compared to the Canadian program.
And what do people there think of the idea of compensation?
Well, the compensation package has been heavily criticized. One of the most problematic things, according to most of the veterans and civilians I've talked to, is this. Say you were a soldier and you were exposed to Agent Orange during the 1966 and 67 tests. You get sick, say, from diabetes or from a cancer associated with Agent Orange. So you should be eligible for compensation. But you happen to die from your exposure before February 6, 2006, the date the Conservatives take office. If you were unfortunate enough to die before that date, your family gets no compensation. So there's a group now called Widows on the Warpath who have been protesting outside of Gagetown for the last number of weeks, and they're women whose husbands were exposed who happened to die before February 6, 2006. If you die on February 5th, you get nothing. If you die on February 7th, you receive the $20,000 in compensation. So a lot of people see that as really cold-hearted, and this issue of negating the larger Canadian program in favor of the smaller American one has also raised eyebrows. What most veterans told me, what they want first and foremost is an apology, which is pretty obvious. Second, they want a public inquiry. So to nobody, I mean, what I've cataloged in my book is the best I could do with the sources that I had access to. But still, reading access to information documents from the 1960s, there's still tons of sections that are blacked out, even to this day. So what veterans are saying is, let's get all the information on the table. Let's have a real public inquiry where we can subpoena witnesses that can make recommendations to government and sort this business out. What's more likely going to happen, though, is a class action lawsuit has been launched against the government of Canada by veterans and civilians, and it will likely be one of the largest class action suits in Canadian history.
Well, thanks very much for telling us about this forgotten piece of Canadian history, and good luck with the book, and I encourage people to read it.
Thanks so much.
I've been speaking with Chris Arsenault. He's the author of Blowback, A Canadian History of Agent Orange and the War at Home. He's currently in Toronto, and he's on a cross-country tour with his book, so watch out for him in your neck of the woods.